exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Great to have you here on TNT Radio, the home of truth and freedom. I'm Charles Coves. This is the Mind Medicine program that we bring to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm in Melbourne, Australia, where it's 6 p.m. Melbourne time. It's 6 p.m. on the Gold Coast in Queensland, the home of TNT Radio. And my guest this week is the wonderful Dr. Lydia Burritt, who's in the UK. And we thought it was going to be a 7 a.m. start for her, but it's 9 a.m. So it's wonderful. I'm only 9 hours ahead of UK these days. It used to be 11 hours. Each week, twice a week, I moderate a global meeting called Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics. And that over summer started at 7 a.m. my time. Well, for the all of winter, autumn and winter, my meetings will start at 5 a.m. So that's the problem with daylight saving. Anyway, it's great to have you here. I'm delighted to be with you and welcome to this show that's all about how and why mind matters and how to keep yours in great shape. Ideas to provoke new ways of thinking about life and your life and life generally. I mean, you know, what's the point of being on this planet? Big question. I'm Australasia's passion provocateur. I've been running seminars for 31 years after my legal career, asking that question, you know, what's the point of this game that we play here, this game of life? We discuss insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we're delighted to be bringing this show to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia, who, after 4.5 years of lobbying the Australian government, succeeded in the legalization of psilocybin and MDMA, two psychedelic drugs, when prescribed by psychiatrists in Australia. And that came into force on the 1st of July last year. It's a great achievement. It's the first country, we're told, in the world to legalize these psychedelic drugs. And it's a wonderful step forward. Psychedelic drugs can be a wonderful resource for people who get no relief for years on pharmaceutical drugs for matters such as anxiety, depression, PTSD. And I had the wonderful Dr. Andy Zamer a couple of weeks ago talking about the side effects of pharmaceutical drugs for depression. And these psychedelic drugs can do wonderful things. Plus, I'm also CEO of a hemp company. And medicinal cannabis is also creating wonderful results for people. So great work. The website for Mind Medicine is mindmedicineaustralia.org.au. Have a look at it and educate yourself and get it into your country. Use Australia as an example. My definition of health is based on the Hungarian word. I speak fluent Hungarian. Even though I was born in Australia, my parents were refugees from Hungary, and the Hungarian language is very precise. And the Hungarian word for health is egészség, which means wholeness, being whole. My definition of health is that health is the unique, optimal balance for you, each one of you, of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. And I'm sure Dr. Lydia Burritt will have some views on the mental, physical, and spiritual elements of being healthy. I look forward to exploring that with her. We talk about passion and its impact on your mental health. And my message to you is to pursue your passion. If you don't know what it is, then your job is to find out what you're passionate about. Because when you're passionate, your mental health problems will reduce. I promise you, I guarantee it. So that's why I gave away my successful legal career, to provoke people like you to pursue your passion, because it's a great liberator. Passion is an amazing resource. I've written two books on it, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance. It's a source of unlimited energy, and what you can achieve in life is a function of your energy, as is your health. Now, before I introduce Lydia to you, I want to say a couple of things about what's happening on our planet. Last week, I had Paul O'Connell and Jill McGowan, who talked about the Buteyko breathing method. And I was blown away. Anyway, that wasn't a play on words, but I was blown away by what good breathing can do to you. And I often say to people in my seminars, you know, what skill do you have that you learnt without making mistakes? Because my contention is there's nothing that you can do that you learnt without making mistakes. And people sometimes say to me, well, I learnt to breathe without making mistakes. And the evidence is clearly that most people don't breathe properly. So even breathing, you don't learn to do properly without making mistakes. So have a listen to that. The beauty of these programs is, as you know, you can go back and listen to all of the programs I've done over the last almost 2.5 years on TNT Radio, this wonderful station that fights for truth and freedom, where there's no censorship, no political correctness, no woke agenda. I also urge you, I'm going to do this as a matter of course, to read, if you ever take a pharmaceutical drug, I urge you to read the inserts. Every pharmaceutical drug has an insert. Read what's in that insert, read the side effects of what's being promoted to you. And Andy Zamar and Vanessa B., one of my other guests whose husband committed suicide, you know, had he known, he was suffering from depression, had he known the side effects of the antidepressants that he took, he would have steered clear, and his wife, Vanessa, his widow, would not have let him take those drugs. So read the inserts. I spent the day today in Melbourne at a Heritage Day at a homestead that was built. Now in the UK, this is no big deal, but in Australia it is, at a house that's 156 years old, a magnificent homestead in the country, and we were demonstrating industrial hemp. So I'm CEO of an industrial hemp company, and people were dressed in 19th century clothing. It was a wonderful day, great music, wonderful food. And so I spent the day telling people about how wonderful cannabis is in all of its manifestations, over 25,000 different products that you can get from this one amazing plant. You heard before I came on the show the talk about climate. Another mantra that I have is that there is no climate emergency. We have an environmental emergency. That's why I've been an organic farmer for 48 years. Whilst being a lawyer, we have an environmental emergency, we have a waste emergency, we have a chemicalized environment emergency. We do not have a climate emergency. Don't get sucked in. Don't tell your children that our planet is going to disappear. It's a lie, and it's driving an agenda to drive money into people's pockets. Another matter that's been in the news has been autism in Australia. The last week, front page news, you know, 1 in 40 Australians have autism. And my view on that, I've said to you before, injecting beautiful babies with these injections, and the evidence that, you know, the medical fraternity says, oh, no, it's not vaccines that are causing autism. We don't know what it is, but it's not vaccines. Well, in America, it's 1 in 32. And you look at the numbers since 1986, with the introduction of the vaccine injury compensation provisions and indemnity to pharmaceutical companies, you know, it's the link is so clear. And to have this idea that God doesn't know how to make a baby that can be healthy, I reject entirely. And the last thing I want to talk about is the five groups Professor James Allen, a professor of law at Queensland University, originally from Canada, and the Daily Skeptic, wrote a wonderful article this week talking about which groups enabled the attack on our freedom. And that's why we're on this radio station. It's about freedom and truth. And he identified five groups, and it's well worth reading his article in the Daily Skeptic. I've been saying there are five groups who enabled this attack on your freedoms, my freedoms, on our rights. And those five were lawyers, the legal profession sold out, mainstream media sold out, chief executives of major corporations sold out, and the churches sold out. And the fifth group, the doctors sold out. And that's why Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics meets of doctors who refused to sell out, who identified their individual patients, and rather than jabbing all of them, said, no, if this is good for you, good, you can have it. If you don't want it, then don't have it. So stand up for your health, everybody. I mean, what's more important than your health? You have all the money in the world, no point if you're dead. So, and anyone who says to you the science is settled, the science is never settled. Anyone who's studied science knows the science is never settled. So do not comply. Spread the news about TNT. Tell your friends to come and listen to this program. This is where you get truth told by the presenters here, by our guests here who are free to speak their truth. So you can contact me by email, charles@covest.com. Visit my websites, charlescovest.com and charlescovest.com, and discover your passion and pursue it. Now, Dr. Lilia Barrett, wonderful, wonderful reputation that she has. She's a medical professional with a rich academic background spanning both the Ukraine and the UK. I love the fact, Lilia, that Ukraine and UK both start with UK. Ironic. Her journey in medicine began with rigorous training in the Ukraine, laying the foundation for her future endeavors. Upon successfully obtaining GMC registration in 2003, Lilia embarked on her medical practice in the UK. 2 years after she arrived, she further solidified her expertise by acquiring the JCP TGP certificate, a testament to her proficiency as a GP. During her tenure at the NHS, National Health Service, for those not in the UK, Lilia quickly became a sought-after medical professional, showcasing her dedication to patient care. Her schedule was consistently fully booked, with patients often scheduling appointments weeks in advance. Driven by this increasing demand for her services, Lilia responded by establishing her own private practice in the prestigious Sloane Square, London, in 2008. Dr. Lilia Barrett is renowned for her commitment to preventative medicine, a matter dear to my heart, firmly believing that early detection enhances treatment outcomes, especially in cases like cancer. Her emphasis on comprehensive care and proactive health measures distinguishes her as a respected figure in the medical field. Lilia Barrett, welcome to the Mind Medicine Program. So I'm just going to get your audio. We're just going to get your audio right. So just here you are in the UK. Were you a refugee when you left the Ukraine to go to the UK, or you didn't describe yourself like that? Because I'm tuned into that because my parents were both refugees.
No, actually, I was not a refugee. I came as a student to study English in London. What happened in Ukraine, I was a GP, and we didn't, in late 90s, we didn't get paid well, and it was very difficult to live there. And I decided to come to London to learn English, and then came back to Kyiv and work with a pharmaceutical company. So I came as a student with a £60, £50 in my pocket. And yeah, and here I am.
Well, it's a wonderful journey. So tell us about your, well, it's a courageous journey. You see, that's the point. It takes great courage to do that, you know. And I often wonder, would I have the courage of my parents who arrived in Australia, you know, in 1949 from Hungary, when to get away from communism, when my mother was 16, she was just about to turn 17. My dad was 9 years older than her. They couldn't speak English, and they come to this country just to get away from communism. It's a pretty courageous step, Lily. And from what your background, it seems to me that you have plenty of courage because you don't do what other practitioners do. So tell us about your philosophy around health. You know, what got you on this preventative medicine? Because in Australia, the ARPA, the Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Agency, attacks, investigates, and pursues doctors who don't prescribe enough pharmaceutical drugs. They monitor because we have this Medicare model, and they know precisely how many patients they have. I've acted for such doctors, And if you have 100 patients over the course of a week, you are expected to prescribe a certain number of pharmaceutical drugs. And if you don't, you are investigated. So tell us about your philosophy on health.
Look, my philosophy on health and staying healthy, I believe that life is a choice, and you make it at life. In life, you have to make the right choices. And of course, in Ukraine in 97, I made the choice, which I never regret, to leave Ukraine and study English in London. And I think you wake up in the morning and you make a choice whether you're going to be staying in bed or you're going to be doing some physical activity. Are you going to be happy or are you going to be sad? I think it's all personal choices. Life is a choice. I believe the life is like a big menu. You know, you look at it and it's either you're choosing fish and chips or you're choosing fish and the roasted vegetables. So this is the choice. And I believe what you choose now, you put like a seed, you plant in a seed. And if you make a good choices in 5-10 years time, you will see what you've grown. If you put a bad seed, don't expect have a good health and not using much little medication, because this is how it's going to reflect in your health. And preventative medicine, I'm not just saying having regular checkups. I think it's, as I said, it's making a healthy choices, good choices for you. And it's not just about food. I think important to have good people around you, people who support you, who encourage you to do good things, and people who wants you to succeed. And also I like to be with people who I can learn from people, people who are better than me, and I really admire that in people. Then, and I met lots of wonderful people who shared with me, and I really credit everything I achieved to many of my friends who guided me in the right direction, who supported me. So when I came to London and I said my dream, my passion is medicine. I want to be a doctor.
Sorry, I missed that. Your passion is what?
It's medicine. Medicine.
Yes.
It is health and medicine. And I want to be a doctor in London. It's my dream. And, you know, many people were laughing at me because they were saying that, do you realize that even for English people, it's difficult to become a doctor? But I believe if you put all your energy into it and you have a passion and you go for it, I believe you can achieve anything. You just
that's the big question, you see, that you had this belief and you pursued it. I'm interested in where this belief came from, and we've got to go to a break. When we come back, how come you had this belief, you see? And that's this intriguing question. That's what this show is about, this mind medicine. Gosh, you know, and you believed you could do it. So we'll go to a break, and we'll be back to speak some more about with Lilia about becoming spectacularly healthy.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Royd.
The Microsoft and OpenAI are also working to build a $100 billion AI supercomputer called Stargate. Whether it will let you, you know, physically go from one realm to another, like in the movie and the TV show Stargate, well, obviously not, but it'll let you go into the AI realm. And this computer system would be 100 times costlier than traditional data centers inside these supercomputers. And reports are saying that Microsoft will be funding a lot of that construction. Pretty soon, AI computing power is going to be a commodity. We are not there yet. It's currently still very expensive. But with all of these developments happening, that's most likely to be the case, certainly by the end of this decade.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royd on today's News Talk, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
Welcome back to the show, the Mind Medicine Program, the place of passion, the place where you access your courage, because passion is the source of your courage to do what Dr. Lilia Barrett did, which was to leave the Ukraine and go and do something difficult. Now, the question that we left hanging was, Lilia, how come you believed you could do it? You see, this question of belief, and people don't pursue their dream because they don't believe they can do it. What's your sense of, you know, your confidence, your belief that you were able to pursue your dream?
I think it's about upbringing as well, being Ukrainian. I think Ukrainians are quite tough people and very dedicated. And we've been brought up like that, you know, we can do anything. And, you know, my parents were doctors as well, and they were the parents were farmers. And they wanted to be a doctors, and they were very difficult in Ukraine to become a doctor, but they become both doctors. So I was born in a family of doctors. And the second thing, why I think I love what I do, and I don't know anything. If I wasn't a doctor, I don't know what would I do else. I can't paint. I'm not very good in anything else apart from. And I was growing up in with two doctors, and we had patients every day, and my parents were talking about diseases, and I think I was growing with that sort of medicine at the background. And I'm very passionate, and I think if you are very passionate and you can do it, at least you have to try. And if you don't try, you won't know. But definitely need to be very focused as well.
Yes, the power of focus, and one of the great ways to picture focus is, I heard this wonderful distinction of asking this question. What is it about a knife that enables it to cut through cardboard? You know, and you stick a knife, and you imagine trying to cut cardboard with a spoon. And the essence of a knife is focus. It focuses because it's sharp. It focuses the energy. And you make an excellent point, you know, of having the courage. You see, you have the courage to focus, which you did. And because of your upbringing, you then were able to put your focus onto your passion. And then you had your parents helping you. It's a wonderful recipe.
Yes, and don't be afraid to ask. You know, I had many situations, like very difficult situation. For example, I was waitressing and I didn't get paid, you know, so I had a problem paying for my rent, and people were very sort of kind and say, okay, don't worry, you pay next week, you know. All you need to ask, and people around you are very, very kind. And I never been sort of let down, and yes, I'm very grateful. So, you know, to be where I am, it's a great sort of thank you to all my friends and people who helped me in the past.
So tell me about your perspective on gratitude. I mean, it's something that I talk about a lot, but you have raised it, you know, and you've raised this question of gratitude. So tell us what you think about gratitude.
I think gratitude makes you more grounded and make you more relaxed and make you feel more positive. I think positivity is very, very important. Positive mind is a freedom as well. And once you choose to be positive and happy and healthy, you're halfway there.
That's very good. That's right. You choose. And my father taught me the secret to happiness. And indeed, normally, because my editorial was going a bit long today, I didn't want to keep you waiting. But you know, I've learned the secret to happiness, Lilia, and it's four words. My father taught it to me, and I teach it, and I promise you it works. And you would agree with me because you've already told us. But here in my editorial, I say, at all times, choose to be happy. That's a choice. Choose to be happy. Don't wait for the absence of problems. You see, most people, as I'm sure people say, well, I can't be happy because I've got problems. Well, everyone's got problems. And you are testament. You have problems. I have problems. I'm testimony to that proposition, as are you, that when you choose, and right at the start of the conversation, we said, life is a choice, so you can choose happiness. So that's what you've done, correct? Even in the midst of those problems.
Yeah. No, you know, everybody, we have problems. Another thing, we have to learn from our mistakes, from the problems. The most important, we learn. Like from COVID, it was a very difficult time, but we have to learn the lesson. We have to be stronger. We have to be mentally stronger, physically stronger, because there is no guarantee that something like COVID will happen again. And we have to make sure the next time we are more prepared, we are healthier, and we can go through much, much easier than last time.
Now, you say make these healthy choices. So what do you advise your patients? Because my observation, I've been dedicated to health for a long time, since 1965 when I went to my first naturopath. But I see a lot of confusion with a lot of people. You know, that you say, hey, make a healthier choice. And I'm interested in, well, if a patient comes to you, and clearly you've been wonderfully successful in the UK, you know, I'm sure you have many patients that are confused. Well, what is my healthier choice? What are three or four key principles that you share that you have found to have a big impact, and the patients come back 6 months later and they've regenerated their life because they've followed that, you know, your guidelines?
Look, I had a patient who was borderline diabetic. He's like about 15 kilos overweight. And what I was saying to him, like, look, if you lose this at least 10 kilos, you're not going to go into diabetes. So what should I do? I said, first, you have to start exercising. And exercising, I know people say, I'm allergic to gym. I can't go to gym. I get rash all over my body if I hear about the gym. I'm sure that everybody can choose some sort of exercise, even walking. Walking is a wonderful exercise. Don't go 10,000 steps. Go for 5,000 or 2 or something. And secondly, it's about the food choices. Again, the food choices would be, you know, all I said to my patients, stop eating pasta, rice, bread and sandwiches and anything, carbs and sweets. And that's it. All you can eat is the meat and vegetables, fish and vegetables, and eggs and cheese. I mean, I think it's quite a broad menu, a broad list. And what my patient said, oh no, I can't do that. I would rather die. You see, that's his choice. If he wants to die, I can't do much about it. But at least I gave him a choice not to die. If he chooses to go to the supermarket and choose not fish and chips, Marks and Spencer ready food, and he will choose the chicken and he put in the oven. And, you know, it's much, much better choice. So as I said, it's a choice. And these people who take medication at 55 and all, they want easy. You know, they want to eat everything else. Even with Ozempic, I don't prescribe Ozempic.
You don't prescribe what?
Ozempic. You know, this medication for weight loss.
Yes. And this Ozempic, O-Z-E-M-P-I-C, that I've been seeing quite a lot about. Yes.
Ozempic, yes. I do prescription, repeat prescription. If other doctor prescribed it, I do repeat prescription, but I don't initiate it. Hmm. I believe that you should put lots of effort and lose weight without the medication. I don't believe when people say, I don't eat much and I can't lose weight. When I ask people, please write me everything what you eat and bring me next time, people don't want to do that.
That's right. They don't want to give you the evidence.
Exactly, because I'm going to say, you can't eat that, you can't eat that, you can't eat that, you know. And then this is what happened. So this is about people have to take responsibility for their health.
That's very good. That's very good. Taking responsibility is the big secret to being happy, because when you take responsibility, you are in control. Now, it always intrigues me. So as a professional speaker, as a motivational speaker, Lilia, my job with a lot of people is to get them to want to do what needs to be done. You tell them what needs to be done, and you've articulated it very clearly. You know, for those of you who are watching, there are big elements of the ketogenic nutritional process. It's not a diet. And Dr. Pierre Corey, who's quite well known around the world, he treated his diabetes by doing precisely what you just said. He said, I don't want diabetes. I'm going to burn fat. And I say burn fat, not lose weight, because losing weight is negative. Burn the fat. So excellent advice, everybody. So Lydia, you might not know, but I've been a triathlete for 38 years. So I compete in swimming, cycling, running, and I've run 9 marathons, and I train every day. So I'm totally with you on this. And so many people, you know, they this is an interesting question. I don't believe this works for me. I don't believe that works for me. And this is where the confusion comes in. You know, there are so many ways to do this. So they don't choose anything. So everybody, make your choice. You know, as Lilia said, life is a choice. Choose health, because when you're healthy, you have the freedom to move. And TNT Radio is about freedom and truth. And Lilia, I'm hearing you say that you speak the truth. Now, I want to know the truth about what it means to be Ukrainian. You say, I know what it means to be a Hungarian. And when someone says to me, you know, who's a Hungarian? I can explain it. The first Ukrainian I ever met in my life was at Melbourne University Law School. Her name was Anna. She was the assistant librarian. I fell in love with Anna. Well, like all the young students, she was, I think, we were 17, 18 in first year law, and she was about 21, 22. So that was my first exposure to a lovely Ukrainian. But I really have, you know, just there are a lot of people, I've asked this question, you know, what are Ukrainian people like? So give us a little bit more description rather than just saying, hey, we can do anything.
What happens, unfortunately, war made Ukrainian people flee their country. So now people in the world, people know much more about Ukrainian people than before. Because now Ukrainians live in Europe, in each country in Europe, in England. And I'm sure the people can say good things about Ukrainian people. And I think Ukrainian people are very hardworking people, very dedicated, very focused, very family orientated, and educated. I believe the Ukrainian people are very health conscious, much more health conscious than I would say English people. I think because we have a farmers. I grew up on a farm with my grandmother. And I was sort of eating healthy since childhood. I was introduced to the good food since childhood. And I think Ukrainian people are very also healthy, health orientated.
Yes, it's my father always said to me that Ukraine has the best soil on the planet. He always said to me that Ukraine could literally feed 7 billion people with the fertility of its soil. Was he correct? Was he correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's in Ukraine, we used to have, not anymore, big farms, and everything was all organic.
Yes, that's a big issue. Yes, you heard me say I was an organic farmer, and I've always been wanting to eat non-chemicalized food. And so in the Ukraine, it was no chemicals when you were growing up?
No chemicals at all. Everything was fresh. And, you know, like if you see tomatoes and smell tomatoes, if you smell tomatoes at supermarkets, you know, it doesn't smell tomatoes, can be anything. You know, and I really miss when you make a salad, you know, you can smell the tomatoes and cucumber and everything. And so it's like smell of home, but not anymore. I cannot, of course, you can find, I can find, I'm going to farmer's market here in London, and I can find good tomatoes and good cucumber. So again, it's a choice. If you want to be healthy, you can find a way to be healthy.
Yes, that's a very good point, and it's one of the pieces of advice I give to people. Go in Australia, I do say to the UK, because, as I say, I moderate two global meetings a week on top of this radio program, and we're having these conversations at farmers markets, everybody. I want you to support farmers markets and use cash. Pay the farmers with cash and support your local community, because you know, this whole issue is happening, this whole supply chain issues, where Australian farmers, for example, are often unable to sell their produce because of cheap imports from other countries. Like, it's ridiculous that you could import tomatoes, or you say tomatoes. I love that song about tomatoes and tomatoes. And I certainly find that when I go to Hungary. Hungary also minimizes chemicals with farmers, and the food, the taste of that food, when I go to Hungary, is extraordinary.
Yes, I agree. Very good. But
So we need to support those local farmers markets. Now, come to this question of, look at you and me on this screen, and I love seeing the two of us together because we've got the colours of red, white, and green, which is the colours of Hungary, and then green, white, and red, which is the colours of Italy. Slightly, but the same three colors. I want to come to this question of evidence-based medicine and protocols. And I want to hear you, you know, because it's you and I are different. We look different. Your body is not identical to mine. And many of the doctors that I deal with frequently say that evidence-based medicine is a bad model for patient care. And indeed, you know, that what I need is different to what you need. Tell me what's your thinking around that, the uniqueness of each of your patients?
Yes, I think everyone is individual. And I know the protocols, but the protocols made for millions of people. And you cannot have the same protocol for each patient, because everyone is different. Everybody responds even to the same virus, like COVID, for example. In the same family, one person is almost dying from COVID, another doesn't have any symptoms. So you cannot have the same protocol for each person. And I think how private medicine is different, because I tailor-made for each patient what they need. Exactly for that patient. I know the protocols, but I don't use them. I try to focus on what exactly that particular patient needs. because everybody has different genetic, they have different paths, they different family history. They also have a different social life. They also have a different belief, different religion as well. So we have to take into consideration everything and then make the choice of the treatment, of the medicine. And yes, the actual the medicine, I try to exhaust all the other avenues before I go into the medicine. So I'm very much pro holistic sort of approach, including herbal remedies or homeopathic treatments. I do leech therapy. I don't know if you heard about the leech therapy.
Leech therapy?
Therapy. You know, the leeches you attach to the...
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Good. Well, hold that thought. I'm very interested in that, but we have to go to a break. And I love that you, if I come to see you as a doctor, you're going to treat me as the unique man that I am. We'll come back after this short break. Thanks for being with us on the Mind Medicine Program.
When a crisis hits close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep going.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the show and the home of passion. I wear my red jacket because red is the color of passion. We're just talking about children on that public service announcement, children achieving their dreams. Well, Dr. Lilia Barrett, my guest this hour, has certainly achieved her dream when she wanted to become a doctor in the UK from the Ukraine, and she succeeded. We're talking before the break about you being treated uniquely in your health challenges, and then we got to leech therapy. So Lydia, I'm fascinated. I've read about leech therapy, but you practice it sometimes now. Tell us more about this.
When I was a child, my mom practiced the leech therapy, and she did it at home to her patients. So I've seen it since childhood, and I know how much good it can do to the body, to the patients. I'm not saying you can treat lots of diseases with that, but there are many things I can treat. And I have many patients that have a very good stories when I treat, like hypertension, knee pain, infertility, back pain, hair loss.
What, for back pain, leech therapy can be helpful?
Yes, absolutely.
Keep going. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I was thinking, gosh, I must be dreaming that you're saying that. Yeah, keep going.
No, back pain. I had a patient who was going for the she lost hearing, and she was offered an operation, and she was very scared. And I said, look, let's try leech. therapy, I mean, if it doesn't help, it's not going to get any worse, then you can go for the operation. And you know what? We did that because she had lots of fluid in the inner ear. So we did leech therapy, and you know, the fluid is gone. And when she went back to ENT consultant, he was shocked that the fluid was not there.
I love it.
So with my approach, I try to exhaust all the, say, harmless approach first before I go into the next stage and prescribing the orthodox medicine.
And it, as I say, in Australia, doctors who pursue that process get into trouble with AHPRA, A-H-P-R-A.
We don't have that here.
So that doesn't happen to you?
No.
That is wonderful. But what about with the NHS? So do NHS doctors have to follow the protocol?
To be honest, I left NHS a long time ago in 2012. 12 years ago, I left NHS. So I'm very, very lucky that I don't have to follow the protocols as NHS doctors are supposed to have to do. But I don't think they're persecuted if they don't prescribe medicine. I think they just prescribe medicine. They don't go into the healthier option or sort of alternative medicine as such as I would do.
Mm. So that is, I'm delighted to hear that. And the comment that I would make is I would urge any doctors watching this show, any lawyers, I was a lawyer, you know, that each one of us is so different, and I'm delighted to hear that you do approach each of your patients differently rather than saying this is the process. Now, let's talk about anxiety because, you know, this is the mental health program, and so my question to you is, I think we've touched on it, but I really want you to get a little bit more specific. What do you do with patients who come to you, you know, depressed, anxious, stressed? What's your thinking around these broadly, because I know each such situation is different. I get that. Give us some clues.
I think anxiety comes from fear. First, it starts the fear. You're scared of something. And if you're not doing anything about it, you develop anxiety. If you're not doing anything about anxiety, you stop sleeping. And then you develop mental health, you develop depression. And then if you're not doing anything, you go into medication and other treatments. So I would say you have to recognize that you have a problem, you have a fear, and you have to work on it. You should not sort of let your mind tell you what to do. You should be able to tell your mind that, look, this is just the fear. It's going to be fine. And I'm going to be doing it. And lots of procrastination is because of the fear.
Procrastination is the cause of the fear.
Procrastination is because of the fear. And the more you procrastinate, the more anxious you get because you have this dialogue in your head, which going on and on and on and takes lots of energy. So I would suggest use that energy from procrastinating and thinking, overthinking on tackling the problem and just get on with it and stop being scared. I think the fear goes into anxiety. You have to work on your fear.
Very, very good. That's a good three-step process. So procrastination leads to fear. The fear leads to anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yes, and then you know this whole feeling, this whole issue of being stuck. You know, I'm stuck. You know, I don't know what to do. And then, of course, then there is, you know, from the choices, I don't know what to do. Then there's the fear of making the mistake. So yeah. You arrived in the UK with £60 in your pocket. Okay. So again, you had this confidence in yourself. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one brother. Yeah, I have one brother, younger brother. It's not about confidence. I think, to be honest, it was a really bad situation for me. You know, when you go to the shop and your son asking for to buy him a sweets, and I have no money for 100 gram, and I'm asking, can you wait just two sweets for me? So I thought I have one and he has one. And he quickly had his sweet. And then, Mom, can I have your sweet? And I said, yes, of course you have. And, you know, at this point, it was the lowest point in my life. And I say, I'm a doctor and I love what I do. I cannot live this life anymore. I have to do something about it. And there is always an option. You can always do something about it. You know, there is no way, like, you know, there's always the way to do things.
Yes, that's beautifully put. That became the trigger for you to do something different. Now, next bit, almost my last question to you. I've got many other questions, but, you know, we're running out of time. My question is this, and I haven't warned you about this. And by the way, you know, I never know really what my questions are going to be. It depends on my conversation. You know, it depends on where we go. That's my philosophy in having a conversation that other people can join us. What was one of the big lessons? What was one of the biggest lessons that your father taught you?
Biggest lesson of my father was sort of to love what you do and be dedicated and be passionate, because my father was a doctor and he really loved what he did, and he was like really very interesting. He was writing songs, he was writing poetry, and he was interestingly that I met people in London. My father was teaching then in a medical school. And they said the lectures was the most enjoyable, because for each medicine, for each condition, like asthma or high blood pressure, he used to make a poetry. So each lesson, he will start with a poetry about high blood pressure, and it was very, so he gave me this love for medicine and dedication and life to being healthy. He was very healthy. He was playing basketball until he was 69 years old, and but sadly he died at 69. That's what he taught me. Just be love what you do, and be very passionate about it, and you will succeed.
Well, that's certainly been my message for the last 31 years. That's why I stopped being a lawyer, Lily. I loved being a lawyer, but I decided teaching people to do what you love doing is the secret to leading a wonderful life. Now, it's interesting you say poetry, because in Hungary, people say, you know, I'm wondering what the case is with Ukraine, but do you know that the greatest heroes in Hungarian history, the most revered heroes, are poets? Poetry. Like, this is, you know, then you, and in Hungary, I'm sure in the Ukraine, but certainly in Hungary, you know, one of the highest respected professions was teaching, school teachers. Certainly not the case in Australia, but poets. And it's interesting, you know, it intrigues me that your father loved poetry and he was a doctor. And I haven't met many doctors that love being poets. So, and I'm a big fan of Buckminster Fuller, Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller, who was awarded 47 honorary doctorates. And he said, writing poetry is he quoted E.E. Cummings, a famous American poet, who said, writing poetry is the hardest thing in the world. Why? Because to be a poet, you have to describe your feelings. So, Lilia, your father inspired you with his feelings and his love of medicine. Last question. I've never heard of Ukrainian authors, and I suppose it's one of my regrets that I, you know, who is a Ukrainian author that you would recommend non-Ukrainian speakers to read? Do any jump into mind?
My favorite poet is Taras Shevchenko. Books wise, it's Ivan Franko.
So Ivan
Franko, Franko, F-R-K-O.
F-R-A-N-K-O?
Yeah, F-R-I-N-K-O, yes.
Beautiful. Well, everybody, consider reading Ukrainian authors. We're running out of time. Lilia, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. It's inspirational. I hope it inspires you, dear viewers and listeners, to do what you're passionate about, because that's our message here. Do the exercise, burn the fat, make the choices, because life is a choice. You have a menu. You can choose, as you've heard Lilia say. So thank you, Lilia, for being with us. I'd love to have you back again. We'll have another conversation. I will make sure that happens. And congratulations on your magnificent career.
For having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. And everybody, thank you for watching TNT Radio. We're fast running out of time. We'll be back again next week. In the meantime, make sure that we hold the politicians who take away your freedom, who speak untruths, we must hold them to account. So have a wonderful week.